There's applause for my family. That's a movie called Hunt for the Wilder People. We're not like recommending the movie. We think it's great, but we're not recommending it in case there's any language or stuff that you don't want. But our family loves that movie. So hopefully this will be easier than trying to get through doors. I'm trying not to be tricky today, but there is a whole confectionery of all kinds of good things at the end, hopefully, of the sermon today. So every time I preach, which is this is now the third time, I put this disclaimer up there. So any views here or any views or opinions expressed herein are solely those of Chad Miller and not those that represent Cornerstone, Church of Blaine, the Bible, or of God, just in case. So I want to make sure, in case I've done something wrong, I want to make sure you know that. We are in, let's see here. Where do I point it? Oh, you know what? It's not going to move on here until I swipe my screen. There we go. We are in a sermon series. Nope, other way. Nope. I want to go back. There. I am in a sermon series, my sermon series, called My First Three Sermons. 3 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago, I did Love is Greater, and it was a part of Jeremy's sermon series about love and how we don't look at the speck, or we take a look at the speck of our own eye instead of, well, you know, the wood and the speck, that one. Okay, it's been a while since I preached that one or read the Bible. And then the second one was last year, so there's 2 years in between my first two sermons. And the last year was The Great Supplier, about our heart and how that supplies us, just like Jesus is our great supplier, and he supplies us with all we need. So I'm going to tie all of that, all those 4 years together, in case anybody was confused with the first, any of those sermons. I'm going to tie those all together today, and we're going to talk about why grow. And so today's sermon is about why grow. We've been doing a sermon series on why church, why we do the things when we come to church. And Jeremy has gone through all these different sermons and preached a sermon on each of these, but he's had somebody come up and speak a little bit with them. The first one was why church, and Jim Brinker came up and he shared from his heart about his life and how connection and how people have come alongside him, and how he appreciates the church and people around him. And it was very well done. I only cried a little bit during that. It was a tearjerker. And these are all online too. If you want to see any of these sermons, they're online. I would recommend any of them because they're really good. The second one was why worship. Why worship? Brandon, our worship director, came up, and Jen, my wife, came up, and she's part of the worship team, and they talked about what worship means to them, connecting with Jesus through worship and through words, through the songs, and through emotion throughout their daily life. And so why worship was that one. Why pray we did, and Hannah Price is Brandon's wife, the worship director, and she's also the prayer ministry leader, and she talked about why we need to pray and connecting with God. One of the things I really got out of that, and I was really challenged by it, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, but connecting with Jesus like he's someone we want to get to know better, like our friend, and someone that, like my wife, I want to get to know my wife better every day for the rest of my life, and that's what I hope to do. And so why not connect with God? So why pray? Why preach? Jeremy talked about a couple weeks ago about why preach, talking about how he unpacks parts of Scripture so we have an easier time to understand it. And so that we're reading through the Bible, we're searching, and we are connecting, not just for a mental, like we're puffed up because we have a lot of like brain power now because of all of the things we've learned from the Bible, but also for having a heart transformation. That's one of the main things I got out of that one. Last week was why give, and I didn't pay attention. It's a bad joke, but I did pay attention. Doyle came up, and he talked about the main thing I got out of is being open-handed with God, and he'll be open-handed with you. You know, that's really hard to do with finances. I think we all struggle with it, and we can probably find something that we struggle with in all of these things today. That's what I think. Now, we could look at this list and just say it's a checklist, check them off every week. I came to church, I worshiped, I prayed, I listened to a preacher. I gave my money. I'm good. We could do that every week, and that would be great. It would be great if people came and we did all those things. But if we don't continue to connect with God on a deeper level, then we're not going to grow. And that's why I kind of came up with why grow. Ultimately, these things are great to do. However, they could be just like a checklist. Check, I did that. Check, I did that. Check, I did that. I'm good. You know, the Pharisees in the Bible were the best churchgoers. They were there on time. They paid their money. They did everything right. They checked off all those lists. But we don't necessarily want to be a Pharisee. We want to grow with God. We don't want to start as like this infant when we become a Christian and not grow. And so that's kind of why I'm finishing my sermon series with why grow. Here's what I want you to know. I told somebody, well, first of all, those washers, I know that's kind of a weird thing. There is a purpose to them. If you didn't get one, you can get one later. But there is a purpose to them. What I want you to know today is you came here with maybe some kind of struggle going on in your life. Because I've come to church on a morning when I've had a struggle. I've come to church on a morning when I maybe made a small hole in the wall of my house. Hey, you know, what's so funny? Sorry, it's my family down there laughing at me. I've come to church that way. You have come, who knows why you came today. Maybe you were parking in the parking lot for the PGA and just accidentally came this way instead. Well, welcome. I'm glad you're here. But you came for some reason, and we all have sins and we all have struggles that we're going through right now. Every one of us. And it's different. Every one of us is different. But you're here today, and hopefully you can learn or take away from today, from the worship, from the connection with people, that it is important that you know that you are here. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. In John 10, it says that. The thief has come. He comes to steal your joy. What should I do with my hands when I worship? How should I sit today when I'm out there? We have all kinds of different things that we struggle with, and there's pains and sufferings going on in everybody's life in a different way today. So hopefully you can know that Satan works the hardest. I think Satan works the hardest on Sunday mornings. I don't want to get out of bed. It's cool outside and warm in here. I got all kinds of things going on, but he works really hard to try to steal that joy from us. I'm going to start with in Colossians 3. So if you have your Bible or if you have a device on your phone for the Bible app, it's a great app to use. We're going to read from the ESV here. And so I'm going to read in starting Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, put on then as God's chosen ones. You are chosen. You are chosen. Whether you know Jesus or not today, you are chosen. So put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate, heart's kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one of you has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together. When I became a Christian, I did the math like about 38 years ago in August at a VBS when I was 7 years old. And since then, there's been all kinds of roller coasters, right? But I became a Christian. I remember distinctly like praying and asking Jesus into my heart with the worship or with the leader that it was. And I remember running out to my, and I've told this story to many people, so some of you may have heard this, but I remember running out to my parents and saying, I became a Christian. And I felt like this release or this joy right away. It doesn't seem weird now, but it was weird as a seven-year-old. Like, why do I feel kind of like all this joy? And so I ran out there and I told them, I'm a Christian. And then I jumped in the back of our pickup truck, because you could do that back then, jump in the back of a pickup truck and ride in the back of the pickup truck down Main Street, and it was no big deal. This wasn't in Blaine, but smaller town, but still, you could do that. And so I remember riding back with my sister, which is a couple years younger, and I remember the whole way back, I don't know if it was the whole way, but I was like, I'm a Christian and you're not. I'm a Christian and you're not. So it's easy to sin right away after you become a Christian. I didn't take any time with my sinning right away. Thankfully, she forgave me. She also has told me that she asked Jesus into her heart about 1,000 times because she kept thinking that her older brother was saying she's not a Christian. So she kept becoming a Christian over and over. So that was good or not good. So anyway, why I say that, right after I made that connection, I still didn't know exactly what to do. I had to grow at some point. Another just quick little thing about this first passage about being chosen. When I was in college, I think I did my stories out of order, actually. But when I was in college, I went to Northwestern College in St. Paul. And one of the guys that I played football with, I was in the locker room, and we had just met. So we hadn't known each other very long. And I remember being in the locker room, and we were going to lunch. And he was out in the hallway, and he came back into the locker room. He's like, Miller, come on, let's go. I'm like, you want to hang out with me? And I didn't say that. I'm like, okay, let's go. Somebody actually wants me, somebody who's chosen me. So I got going, and he became one of my best friends in college just because of that. Now, I talked to him not so long ago, and he said he thought it was the other way around. He thought I asked him. But either way, the point being, I was chosen. You are wanted. This is my first point. You are wanted and desired by God. So you come here, and again, you're wanted and desired by God. Why grow? I'm gonna change to Colossians. I'm gonna stay in Colossians, but we're gonna move back to Colossians 2 right now. And I'm gonna start reading while you're kind of looking for Colossians 2. Therefore, as you receive Christ the Lord, so walk with him. Okay? As you receive Christ the Lord, walk with him. So when you connect with Jesus, I need a little bit of help from anybody that wants to. When you're connecting with Jesus, how do you vertically connect with Jesus? How do you connect with Jesus? What are some ways? You can yell them out. Prayer. Hearing is hard. Worship. Thank you. Reading the Bible. Compassion. Sure. Yeah, we connect with Jesus, and that's what I wrote down. Prayer, worship, Bible reading. A quiet time, listening. How many of us practice that? You don't have to raise your hand, but that's a difficult one to do, to have that quiet time to sit quietly. But those are ways that we vertically connect with Jesus. When we do those things, that's why I have the cross up there. I've done this thing called crossfire with football players before at Northwestern. So you can do the Christian things. And you need to connect vertically with Jesus, but you also need to connect horizontally. I'll get to that. But why do we connect vertically, or how do we connect vertically with Jesus? These are different ways. It's really important that we are doing that so we fill ourselves up. Actually, God is filling us up. Today, when we worship, when we read our Bible, when we're learning and connecting and getting to know him better, that's going to fill us up so that we can then spill over to other people. I got this. This is Coke Zero, by the way. Not what you might think it is. But we need to be filled first. So we need to be filled from the top so then that we can spill over to other people and to each other. So connecting vertically with Jesus, if I don't have my quiet time, if I don't do those things, then I'm lacking in the ability to spill. Now, other people might spill in me, and we'll talk about that in a second, but I really need to do that. And I notice it in my life when I'm struggling. When I'm not feeling great, I probably haven't spent any time with Jesus in the morning or during the day. I haven't taken that little bit of time just to sit and listen. Some of you are introverts, and sitting and listening is easier for you. For me, it's really hard. I feel like I need something to be doing or doing something. So I try to rollerblade or do things like that and just be quiet and listen to what God is saying to me. This morning, I was coming away from church after I was after I prayed with the people from the Mexico missions team, I came down the back way here at Blaine to go out the back way back home, and there was three deer there, just standing there, just kind of casually just sitting there. And I'm like, thank you, God. That's like a little love note from God saying, hey, check this out. Here's some more of my creation. It was really cool. So we need to be filled first. But then, once we're getting filled that way, we need to be rooted in Him. Okay? Rooted and built up in Him. In one of the other versions that I read, it said, rooted, digging your roots down deep and being fed. Okay, or up, in this case. But being filled by Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, empty deceit, according to the human tradition, according to the element of the spirits and the world, not according to Christ. If that verse really hit me this week, I was thinking, like, if I do this, if I'm connecting more with Jesus, then it's easier for me to understand where these false people are coming and telling me do this or that. Or when it seems like somebody is telling me this, but Satan's actually using them to say, hey, try this, or look at this, or take a look at your phone, or here's all these evil things, or these things that I could really be doing. But if I'm filling myself vertically, then it's going to be easier to not let someone take me captive that way. And when I'm filling myself with people side by side, it's going to be easier as well. For in Him, the fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all, the ruler and authority. White girl, there we go. So why now horizontally? Now, if we fill each other, if we're filling with Jesus vertically, how do we fill horizontally? Small groups? Bible studies? Church, thank you. Fellowship. I'm a teacher, so I like... Oh, say it again, Kim. Serving together. Excellent. This morning, the people that are serving today came and we prayed together. Okay, that's a bonding thing, serving together by going on a missions trip or just doing little things in the church or outside of the church. That's one of the things that I've really learned is some of my best joy building is not necessarily in here. I do love coming in the mornings. I love worship, and I love listening and growing and learning. There's times that I'm not as excited, but I find something else for joy building. So I like fishing. That's one of my joy builders. Even by myself, I could, but I enjoy fishing with Jared. He's back here. I enjoy fishing with Jared, and we even had this conversation not so long ago, like, we may feel kind of like blah in our spiritual life, but by going fishing together and goofing around, or even like when we don't catch fish, we talk about emotion. So it's a kind of a bummer. Jared doesn't like that part. So we like catching fish, so we don't have to talk about our emotions. But when we don't, then we talk about our lives and our wives, and we have that joy building together and that connection that brings us together, and that's a spiritual connection. Sometimes it can be deep, and sometimes it's shallow. Maybe I'm just throwing a fish at his line or whatever, but we have a good time, and we connect. There's also joy building when, it's called Jared 5:10. Jared 5:10, he likes to tell us about how big his bass was that he caught, because it was 5 pounds, 10 ounces. And I told him it would be in the, if I preached, it will be in the sermon, because he wanted to make sure everybody knew what a great fisherman he was. So, Jared 5:10, if you want to look that verse up, I have the picture of it. So this is how we build vertically. We connect vertically with Jesus, and then it's easier to spill out sideways. Okay, I might not be feeling connected with Jesus, but I hang out with him or with someone else in here, and there's people that I know will fill me up with joy. I know there's people that will fill me with joy when I connect with them. And those are the people you should seek out and want to hang out with and be with. So why do we need to be connected? And that's kind of hard to see. It's harder for me to see. But we should be connected, or we should be getting filled vertically, and both filling and getting filled horizontally. That's why I put this one. I was trying to be creative, but the up and down and the sideways. We have to do both. If we can do both, then we got something going. So why grow? If we're working on both of these things, like I said, if we're working on both of these things, filling vertically and horizontally, then it's going to be really easy and we're going to be known. In Matthew, the verses I have right here, I'm going to skip over to Matthew. I really love these three verses. So you are light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It reminds me of this little light of mine. Hide it under a bushel? No. Hey, shine it all around the world, right? If some of you know that song, maybe some of you don't, but I remember that growing up, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I don't want to hide it under a bushel. And it comes from this part. When I was challenged by listening to these sermons about why grow, I was challenged with the why pray one. And Hannah said something about, I'm pretty sure it was her, she said something about like just feeling free to be able to pray for someone when they're out in public or whatever. And so it's scary. So, of course, after she challenged me with that, I was at Target. It was a bad place to go. I had my groceries, and I was on the way out. And there was this man that kind of came hobbling in. He was hobbling into the store, and I just stood there. I don't know why. I didn't need to. He even told me that. You didn't need to stand there because it opens from both ways. I'm like, oh, all right. But I was standing there thinking I was holding the door for him. And he walks in, and he sits down in the scooter, and I started talking to him a little bit. And then he's like, well, I didn't need help. I'm just fine. I had a stroke, but I'm fine. I can just do it myself. It's kind of hard. I have to ride in this scooter now instead of just walking normally. I was always really active, and he just started spewing stuff to me just because I was there and said hello. So now I'm thinking of Hannah's like challenge, and I'm like, well, crap. I'm going to have to, inside my gut, I'm starting to sweat like this morning, and I'm trying to figure out what am I going to do? So I'm like, okay, here goes. Hey, sir, I'm a man, and I talked to him for a little while. I can't remember his name, but I invited him today, so if he's here, I'm super excited. But I said, sir, I'm a man of faith, and so I believe in praying. Would it be okay if I prayed for you? Well, I went to the Catholic Church, and in fact, I went to Cowboy Church the other day, too. And I'm like, well, great. I love seeing Cowboy Church up there. I haven't been, but I'd really love to go just to see it, but up in Ham Lake. But I'm like, well, great. Is it okay if I pray for you? So I prayed for him, and I think that moment of praying for him was more for me than it was for him. I do believe that God blesses that and will encourage him as well. But I went away from there almost like skipping away. You know, you feel that joy, like, wow, I struggled through that. I don't know how, and then I did it, and I feel that joy. And I'm not here to, like, brag on me doing that. But I'm telling you that you will be more filled up if you spill sideways to someone like that. If you take the challenge of doing something a little out of your comfort zone. The first sermon that I preached, I made everybody move closer to the front because I figured the front rows were empty, and I appreciate you guys being down here. But I made everybody kind of move to the front to take a different seat. That's what it was, because I wanted them to have a different perspective, to see somebody else's perspective. We always sit down here. You always sit here and here and here. But I wanted somebody to get a different perspective. It was good for me to get a perspective and to understand that if I do that, I'm feeling filled up and joyful as well. And that was a really, I was challenged by Hannah when she did that. And I'm challenged when I worship. I know in the Bible it says somewhere, I looked for it, I couldn't find it. But it talks somewhere about just, instead of just standing there when you worship, opening your hands up. The men open their hands up. And I was like, I don't know. I come from an E-free church, and we kind of just keep our hands down. I like clapping. I'm a clapper, but I've tried to do that. And when you just opening up your hands instead of standing cross, and I'm not trying to judge anyone in here. We all have different things and different feelings on those. But when I did that, when I challenged myself to do that, I just felt more filled up. I love singing and worship. I'm like making a joyful noise and worshiping. But that just helped me. And so find something that helps you or encourages you to keep filling and keep spilling. So you're filling up that glass and it keeps spilling over, okay, to more people. If you're filled up, you're going to be that light on a hill that people want to hang out with. They want to see, they notice what's different about that person. I want to connect with them. I want to know more about them. Okay, because you're filling up with Jesus. Oh man, I got like all kinds of time right now. I'm going to actually go to my application so the worship team can kind of make their way up. What I want to do today, the reason I gave you the washers at the beginning is to leave space for Jesus. Right, Dwayne? Dwayne said, is this to leave space for Jesus? I'm like, oh, that's a good one, Dwayne. I'm going to use that. The real reason I did this is because I'm a teacher at Coon Rapids High School. And they gave us these washers, and that's mine, a picture of mine up on the screen. They gave us these washers at the beginning of the school year. And they said, write down a word that, I don't know, that comes to you, that you think of. It was nothing spiritual by any means. And they gave us these things, and so I wrote down connect. I wrote down connect. I didn't know why, but I just felt like, oh, I want to connect more. It just kind of came to me. I think people wrote down all sorts of different things. What I don't want to do is tell you what to write down. But what I do want to do is practice some of what I preached right now about giving you, and we're going to only do it for a minute. Aaron's going to play just a little bit. We're going to do this for a minute where you just take time out of your day to listen to the Holy Spirit and to see what, maybe he gives you a word, maybe he doesn't, maybe it's later. It could be anything, but everybody, again, is different. But we're going to take a minute, and then I'm going to pray. We're going to take a minute and just see if you can meet with Jesus a little bit vertically and say, Jesus, what do you want from me? What is something I can write on this to meet with more people, to do something, taking something away? And it might have nothing to do with what I talked about. And you might write something down like connect. I didn't know why. I know I like people, but I didn't know why I wrote it down. But you might get a word from him that's totally weird, like pineapple. And there may be a reason for it. If you're willing to open up and let the Holy Spirit lead you, there'll be something on the other end of it. I can promise you that. And so we're going to take a minute. At the end of the sermon, when we're all done, when we leave, there's two tables. There's one over here and there's one back there with Sharpies on them. Some are colorful. Some are just black Sharpies. And you can, if you want to remember it right away, if the Holy Spirit blesses you with something right now, go back and write it down and take that with you and put it somewhere where you can remember. And also what I'd like you to do is if you have kids or a husband or wife that's not in here and they're serving somewhere else or they're somewhere else, or if you want to take more, I bought like 250. I know there's not that many people here today. Take some with you. I'm totally fine with that. Okay, and go connect, especially with your kids, and have them do something like this outside. So we're just going to give it a minute, and then I'm going to pray.